Time now to turn our attention to the international newspapers. Leo McGuinn joins us in studio for that. Leo, we're going to look at something that's getting a lot of focus here in France. It's the farmers.
Well, I'll start with Libération, Yves. They have those tractors on their front page this morning. They say the return of the anger in the farming industry is hardly surprising, given that the return to calm achieved only a few months ago was essentially a fool's bargain. These fresh protests stem from a potential trade deal between the EU and South American nations, a bloc known as the Mercosur, a trade deal farmers or politicians don't want. According to Le Figaro, the massive rejection of Mercosur can largely be explained by the gap in environmental and health standards. It's not just about the trade deal, though. French farmers also want better pay and fewer regulations. According to Le Parisien, while the agreement with the Mercosur countries is both reviled by the farming community and rejected by the political class, it does, however, enjoy the support of a solid majority of EU member states, which reports exasperation in Brussels, where France's repeated slamming on the brakes is starting to seriously irritate.
Now, it's a country no longer in the European Union, but farmers across in Britain also protesting.
As you can see, this makes the front page of several dailies this morning. The Telegraph say that farmers have nothing to lose amid fears that some in the industry will disrupt food supply with a protest. All this centres on a new tax introduced in Labour's budget, a 20% levy on agricultural land worth more than £1 million. 20,000 farmers are expected to descend on a parliament tomorrow in order to protest that new tax. Ministers are drawing up contingency plans to keep supermarket shelves stocked, with campaigners warning that unless the government strike a deal soon, some may resort to a blockade of ports or even airports. Steve Reid, the Environment Secretary, said that there will be no U-turn on this tax. The Express also have this on the front page of their paper this morning. They call the new tax Labour's war on farmers, which could be a threat to food security in the country. They're quoting Conservative MP Chris Philip, who's the Shadow Home Secretary. He talked of the farmers struggling to make ends meet. PM Keir Starmer has hit back at those claims, insisting that the vast majority of farmers won't be impacted by the proposed tax changes.
OK, well, let's move on to Australia now, where the government there has been accused of exporting climate destruction.
As you can see in The Guardian this morning, at COP29 in Baku, representatives from the tiny island nations of Tuvalu and Vanuatu have called on Australia to stop approving new fossil fuel developments. They're particularly critical of Australia's plans for a massive gas industry expansion in Western Australia. They say that would directly affect them and could result in 125 times more greenhouse gas emissions than their island nations released in 1 year. Australian leaders have been accused of hypocrisy for standing on the world stage and promoting their climate credentials while also approving these deals. Emissions from the gas protest at this particular plant could result in up to 6 billion tonnes of emissions. Australia, actually the world's third largest fossil fuel exporter. And it's interesting because if you look at the front page of one of the country's biggest newspapers this morning, you can see the juxtaposition, because they have this message in stark contrast with the message from the Pacific nations: give coal a chance to rein in energy risks. One of the world's major miners has urged the Albanese government to slow down the transition from coal to renewable energy, warning that Australia risks falling behind other nations, especially as Donald Trump puts in motion his plan to expand the fossil fuel industry in the United States. One of the world's largest mining companies has revealed the price it pays for energy in Australia is almost as twice as much as other countries such as US or Canada or India. Australia's attitude towards coal, that CEO says, is out of step with the rest of the world. And Australian stakeholders just don't want to have a conversation about coal anymore, he says.
OK, well, you seeing there Donald Trump on the front page there and across in the United States, one of Donald Trump's new appointments is getting attention for his tattoos.
Yeah, this reported by the Washington Post this morning all revolves around Pete Hegseth, who has been named as the Secretary of Defense to be. It turns out he was barred in 2021 from serving in support of Joe Biden's inauguration as part of the National Guard after an intelligence officer posted concerns to social media. This came after Hegseth went on a swim and posted pictures of his torso. He's heavily tattooed. The tattoo that caused concern in question is on his bicep. I can show you here. He has the words Deus Vult tattooed, which has been associated with some white supremacist groups. It's a Latin phrase meaning God wills it. It was a rallying cry for Christian crusaders in the Middle Ages, but the phrase has also reportedly been associated with right-wing groups such as the Proud Boys. When this came known to his superiors, Hegseth was stood down and labelled as a possible inside threat. Now, since his nomination as Defence Secretary, the tattoos and the issue of the tattoos have come up again. Unsurprisingly, this has divided opinion in America. Vice President-elect J.D. Vance has called any criticism anti-Christian bigotry. On the other side, a former White House Homeland Security advisor has said that the mark should disqualify Hegseth from consideration for a cabinet role. Pete, Hegseth's tattoos are the ones that white nationalists get. That's what she says.
OK, Leo McGuinn, what a look at that. International Papers, thanks indeed for that.